Well, imagine this. You're a Democrat in Kansas. That's Kansas, as in one of the most Republican states in the country. Whether it's a primary election or a general, the question remains the same. Does my vote count? Today, as part of NPR's A Nation Engaged, we look at the hardships of registering as a Democrat in Kansas, how Democrats deal with their regular defeats, and whether they think it'll ever change. Does my vote matter? We're about to find out. With us is Burdette Loomis. He's a political scientist at the University of Kansas. Bird, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
Cheyenne Davis is the field and political director for the Kansas Democratic Party. And Cheyenne, welcome to you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, Bird, if recent history holds, something like 400,000 to 500,000 Kansans will vote for Hillary Clinton for president this November. She'll lose the state, and essentially those votes will not count, as Donald Trump would go on to win the entire allotment of electoral college votes in Kansas. So this raises a question. Do the votes of Democrats for president even count in Kansas?
The short answer is no. I mean, I've written on this about the Electoral College versus a popular vote nationally, and I've been in Kansas since 1979. I've voted in, nine presidential elections, and I'm a regular Democratic voter, and my vote is never counted. No. If you're in California right now and you're Republican, same thing. It's winner take all. That's the way the system is set up. It could be different, but certainly to make your vote count nationally, you would want to have a national vote, a popular vote for president.
Now, Cheyenne, you just heard the venerable Burdette Loomis, the senior political scientist in the state of Kansas, say Democratic votes don't count, at least when it comes to president. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that I have to agree with them in that respect. However, it counts immensely here in Kansas, which is what we are most concerned with as Kansas Democrats. The state and local races, we're trying to build our party at the local level and at the state legislative level where we can make the most difference and impact Kansans.
So the votes matter at that level, maybe absolutely. Not at the presidential level. Okay. There's got to be a lot of frustration, Cheyenne, with those of you who toil in the offices of the Kansas Democratic Party. I mean, I've been covering Kansas politics for a long time. I've known a lot of operatives over the years. And let me tell you, they come and they go. How do you deal with that, ongoing frustration of losing as many elections as you guys have tended to lose?
Well, we learn from them. We learn from past elections. We've learned immensely. From 2014, we had an excellent turnout of our voters. We tried some new strategies. They worked. We still did excellent on the national scale. The Paul Davis was one of the highest performing Democrats in a statewide ticket.
He was a candidate for governor who lost by 3 points to Governor Sam Brownback. Yeah.
And we have built our party since then. We think that this is going to be an extremely crucial year for us. We need to build up our presence in the state legislature. And we are trying these strategies again, but in a higher capacity and with better information than we did in 2014. And I think that's going to result in some very successful elections.
It sounds like you guys take the long view here, that any short-term prospects are always a little bit dicey, but you have to build on past successes, learn from the failures, and keep trudging forward here.
Absolutely. We are always learning from our mistakes in the past, and certainly there have been several that have led us to this position in Kansas, but there's also a lot of history involved in that. And the winds of change have come to Kansas. People are reflecting on the poor policies of our Republican leadership right now. They're ready to make a change on the ballot and in policymaking in Kansas, and we're going to capitalize on that.
I was going to say, Bird, if Democrats can't win this year in a state like Kansas, admittedly very bright red, if you can't win this year, when in the world can Democrats ever win, given the trajectory of Governor Brownback's administration and everything
exactly.
else?
Exactly. But I think I think looking at history is the right way to do it, because you're in the 1980s and early 1990s, you had an extraordinarily competitive Democratic Party in this state, even though I'd say it was generally a Republican state. John Carlin won the governorship, Joan Finney, subsequently Kathleen Sebelius. They won the state house in 1991. You had Democratic members of Congress and a very competitive situation. Now, what's happened very quickly, 1994, a huge national wave. Republicans took away a lot of seats in Kansas. Kansas Democrats never really recovered. Then in 2010, another big national wave, and you had even further diminution of Kansas Democrats. So in some ways, Kansas Democrats aren't really responsible so much. The politics have become, since 1994, and particularly over the last 7 or 8 years, highly nationalized. And so I think that, in a sense,
meaning that the policies of the Obama administration play heavily in what happens back here in Kansas.
Absolutely. And particularly 2010, across the country, 700 seats moved from Democratic to Republican. So it was a big wave. Now, we're a Republican state, and once you get that, it's hard to push back, as I know Cheyenne and others have discovered. What's fascinating this year are two things. First of all, the head of the ticket for the Republican Party will be Donald Trump, which produces great uncertainty. You have a flawed, but a poll, nevertheless, showing Clinton perhaps beating Trump in this state. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's probably going to happen, but it shows you the flux. And the second thing is, you have a remarkably unpopular governor not on the ballot, but you have all the incumbents, or many of the Republican incumbents, have voted consistently with Sam Brownback. And the polling data I've seen has shown Brownback to be extraordinarily unpopular. And the anecdotal evidence you hear about people going to town halls is similar. So as you point out, this is the great opportunity for Kansas Democrats, probably not to come back to majorities, but to build their party substantially, maybe back to the early 2000s, where you have in the 40s in the House, maybe 15, 14 in the Senate.
Let me just get our listeners involved here. You Kansas Democrats out there, what keeps you from getting so frustrated that you give up altogether? Do you believe your vote really counts in a Republican state like Kansas? Give us a shout. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Cheyenne, you know, let's give Republicans some credit here. Byrd just talked about these wave elections that resulted in so many Republicans winning offices across the state. But hey, let's give credit where credit's due. The administration of Governor Brownback, his chief political guru, is a guy named David Kensinger, who has made it all about his work, all about really wiping out the Democratic Party or taking it down to its lowest levels that he could possibly take it down to. Am I right about that?
Sure. I would say, though, that I would like to give them credit for making such terrible policies that everyone is now reacting in such a way that they're coming to our party. They're ready to get involved. They're becoming active in politics because they're really doing it in spite of what Governor Brownback and his administration and his fellow Republicans in the legislature have done to our state.
Mm-hmm.
They have made huge impacts on this state in that regard, and Kansans are ready to fight back. I get volunteer signups on a daily basis that come to my email, that they call the office wanting to know how they can get involved. We're building the party at the grassroots level, which is really our biggest asset as the Democratic Party, especially here in Kansas. We've always been a grassroots party, and we are. It's being reflected in the counties across the state. We now have 62 organized counties out of 105. Mm. This time in 2014, we had 20 some. Mm. So we are building very proudly. Democrats are increasing visibility statewide, and we are ready for 2016.
You know, Burdette Loomis, you almost got a sense that Governor Brownback, when he took office in 2011, yeah, okay, the election was in 2010, almost thought to himself, hey, I'm going to make some big changes in the state. They're going to be controversial, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the Democrats aren't going to give me trouble in the years to come. Am I seeing that correctly?
Well, I mean, I think he immediately said that he did not want to use any Democratic votes to pass anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, from 2010 on in the House, 2012 on in the Senate, a far right majorities in both chambers that he could pass things. Now, to be fair, and talk about giving credit to Republicans, and particularly the far right Republicans, over the last 20 years, they have worked extraordinarily hard. They've been very effective campaigners. They have had pretty good resources. But honestly, they have often outworked moderate Republicans and outworked Democrats.
Hmm.
And I think that one of the things you see is among both of those groups, the need to take on a work ethic that approaches the work ethic of the far right, who is willing to get into the trenches and do the door-to-door, do everything that they need to. And I think that the 2016 election is going to be a test here. As a kind of an academic, I'm going, as kind of an academic, I think, you know, will we get back to this kind of moderate conservatism that really has been the hallmark of this state over the last 40 years? Or did something change in 2010, 2012, and this state is really far, far more conservative? And I think that it's likely that we'll move back to a certain extent. The question is, how far?
The question on the table is, if you're a Kansas Democrat, does your vote really count? Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Option two is to give us a tweet, at KCUR, up to date. Let's go to Scott from Overland Park. Scott, good morning.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wanted to weigh in on your question there about the Kansas Democrats giving up and your vote not counting. Frankly, where I sit, it really comes down to ideology, and maybe that goes without saying. And it's not so much about what is about the legislative decisions that are being made, but I think what keeps me going and keeps my hopes up and keeps me voting is that these are ideological differences. These are human rights differences. These are tolerance differences. They're beyond just the poor legislative decisions that are made. And that's what keeps me coming back, is these are things that I believe in. These are value system issues, and I just can't quit. So,
how about your friends who may be Democrats as well, Scott? Do they feel something similar to the way you do?
They do, unfortunately. And I'm not a fan of this, because I've always felt, you know, I want to vote for the best candidate. But this country, you know, over the past years has become so divisive. You can't, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm a fiscal conservative and a social liberal. That's easy, and that's a convenient answer, but unfortunately, that's not reality today. You know, you have it's like you have to pick a side, and this is the side that I guide my life by and I guide my decisions by, and it's not something I'm just going to throw in the towel on.
Scott, I'm glad you called. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Rick from Overland Park. Rick, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Rick.
Great. I have not given up. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I came back from Vietnam, an anti-war veteran, and have stayed somewhat to the left my whole life. But recently moved out of Brown Pakistan into Missouri, where I kind of think my vote will count a little more. But the reason that I never gave up on voting was that I know that I affect the local, and if you can't affect the local, you can't affect anything else. So that's kind of where I was and what I needed to say.
And that sort of mirrors what our guests are saying here this morning as well, Rick. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Kim from Overland Park. Kim, you're on Up to Date.
Well, I kind of take a different route. I used to be a card-carrying Democrat. I still am a Democrat at heart. But I changed to the Republican Party so I could vote in the primaries, because I feel like my voice can be heard to try to at least help the moderate Republican out, and then I go vote Democrat in the general election.
Well, Kim, you're what we call in the radio business is a godsend, because we're about to switch topics and go just to the point you just made. So I really appreciate you giving me a call, Kim. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Let's talk about switching here a little bit, and here to help us with that are two KCUR reporters, Ellie Moxley and Lisa Rodriguez, who just returned, at least Lisa did, from a trip to western Kansas. What about this tactic, Ellie, of Democrats switching to the Republican side to at least affect something because they're so frustrated with the lack of wins on the Democratic side? What are you finding out there?
You know, I don't necessarily think this is a new strategy in Kansas. I grew up on the Missouri side of the state line. You hear about it all the time, people switching in Democrats switching in primaries to vote for more moderate Republicans. I was in Hutchinson, Kansas about, a month ago, and I actually talked to a 91-year-old woman, Frances Burnett, a lifelong Democrat, who switched her party registration from Democrat to Republican to vote in the primary.
We have that tape right now?
We do.
Let's listen.
Well, I was at the library one day, and somebody was talking about changing parties, and a big light bulb came on. I thought, if I change parties, I can vote in the primary. So you're now speaking to a Republican.
And, you know, she wasn't the only one. Right now in Hutchinson, the race is between Terry Bruce on the Senate side and Ed Berger. He hasn't really been involved in politics before, but he's the former president of the community college there in Hutchinson. So he's well-known and well-liked by a lot of people. And I think that's really spurred a lot of more moderates to get out in the primary and to get more politically active.
Lisa Rodriguez, you just were out in western Kansas last week doing some reporting. What did you find out when you were out there?
I found that a lot of people talked about party switching as if it was a very common practice, particularly, you know, in that first congressional district, which is the entire western part of Kansas that has been so dominated by Republicans.
Dole's home district, once upon a time, Pat Roberts, Jerry
Moran. Often Democrats would find that they didn't have a choice. There wasn't a primary race that they could vote in. And so I talked to a lot of people that said, you know, my grandfather would roll over in his grave, but I'm a Republican because that's just what we have to do out here in western Kansas to make a difference.
Cheyenne Davis, again, you're the field and political director for the Kansas Democratic Party. What do you say to this practice? And what do you say to Democrats who are tempted to make this jump to, in their minds, to have their votes count?
Frankly, it's extremely ineffective. If you look at the composition of our state legislature, which is why people do this, they change their party affiliation to affect races at the state level. What we're seeing, however, is more power within the Republican Party, which means committee arrangements are determined by these supermajorities. The moderates do not have a say in that process, and nor do Democrats. It's also a big problem for the Democratic Party in itself because it eliminates resources that we could be getting to make sure that Democrats win at the state, local, and at the national level. So we have groups, organizations across the country who are willing to put resources in states that they see as viable. And when our entire party switches to the other side just to vote in a primary contest where the incumbent or the far-right Republican will have far more resources, monetary resources specifically, than the moderate will have, we lose the ability to gain those resources from those outside organizations. And
so you wish they weren't doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do not condone that activity.
Bert, what do you say to this?
The empirical evidence is pretty clear that this almost always does not work. You can have anecdotal evidence, but now the best case
of a Democrat switching to voting Republican to sort of get a more moderate candidate.
Now the one counterexample, the great counterexample in Kansas is Vicki Schmidt in Topeka. Clearly, she won a very, very tough primary 4 years ago with the help of Democrats who switched and became Republicans. Mm-hmm. But that's, I think, the only case you can really clearly point to. There's been a lot of other research done. But it is frustrating for Democrats. And I want to go back to 1972 and my sainted mother. She was a Republican in this very situation, a Republican district, and so she changed parties and voted Republican for the moderate and was able to write a letter to the paper saying that she was going to vote for George McGovern even though she was a registered Republican. So this has been going on for a long time, but it takes a lot of work, and Kansas has made it much more difficult to do it this year.
We're going to leave our very good conversation there and this whole notion of do Democratic votes count in Kansas. Elliot Moxley, Lisa Rodriguez, thanks for coming in. Burdette Loomis, a political scientist over at KU, and Cheyenne Davis, the field and political director for the Kansas Democratic Party, who probably has one of the toughest jobs anywhere here in the area. Appreciate you coming in and taking a few questions.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.